It is Tuesday, May 27th, 2014. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Fayetteville Public Library begins its FPL Summer this Saturday, May 31st, from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. Science is big. Mad scientist Steve Cox and the Arkansas Museum of Discovery's mobile van will join the fun inside the library and at the City Hospital parking lot. Sign up for the family FPL Summer Reading Program will be available. FAYLIB.org for more information. The Rogers Historical Museum presents Hog Wild, Our Area's Love Affair with the Pig, on exhibit now through August 9th. This exhibit features the museum's collection and private collections, reflecting the broad appeal of the pig in Arkansas, from farming, sausage making, art, and razorback memorabilia. Located in historic downtown Rogers, 621-1154, or rogersarkansas.com/museum for more information.
Ahead on this edition of Ozarks, a conversation with Robert Runyon. The Winslow resident is legendary in Northwest Arkansas for his log cabins that are built using old-world methods of construction. Also, the president of the Republic of the Marshall Islands pays a visit to Springdale.
Plus, the Young Actors Guild prepares for its upcoming production of Cinderella. And the latest installment of Arkansongs, Roby Brock has his weekly political and business news recap and more.
But first, now that Congress has overwhelmingly passed a water resources bill, which awaits the president's signature, officials who oversee Arkansas's navigable waterways say infrastructure along the state's rivers will likely benefit from the legislation. The bill opens up more money under the Inland Waterways Trust, which funds Army Corps of Engineer projects throughout the country. Gene Higginbotham of the Arkansas Waterways Commission says that may allow the Corps to conduct a three-river study at the confluence of the White, Arkansas, and Mississippi rivers. He says it would look at long-term solutions to the problem of high water on the Mississippi.
When that happens, the White River really has no place to go. And so water always tries to find a way to get where it's going. And so what will happen is the White River will cut across an island into the lower Arkansas River. And so what's kind of happening in that area is this, is you see the White River and the Arkansas River trying to come together. And if that happens, we actually lose that navigation pool.
Higginbotham says that severely limits barge traffic, which the state's agriculture and manufacturing industries rely on. He says the Army Corps of Engineers already spends between $1 and $10 million a year to maintain the Three Rivers area.
In advance of a June 10th runoff election in the Republican primary for Arkansas Attorney General, the candidate who came in third, Patricia Nation, announced her endorsement of frontrunner Leslie Rutledge on Friday. Nation says she spoke after the election with both Rutledge and opponent David Sterling, but found she had more in common with Rutledge's position of implementing the death penalty.
She thought, as I did, that the legal injection was a better route to take over David Sterling's position on the electric chair.
Sterling has suggested reintroducing the electric chair if the state continues to be unable to procure drugs used for lethal injections. The drug scarcity is impacting executions nationwide because a European supplier doesn't want the drug used in executions. Rutledge received 47% of the vote compared to 39% for Sterling. 50% was needed to avoid a runoff.
Memorial Day weekend marked the beginning of swimming season in many areas of the state, and the Arkansas Department of Health reports only 5 swim beaches through the state were closed during the holiday weekend. Tom Jones is the senior environmental health specialist with the health department's swim beach program.
I think we're in for a really good season, and it's starting off with a much lower count of closed beaches.
The beaches that were closed during the weekend were closed because of the presence of E. coli. Jones says the higher concentrations of the bacteria, likely caused by populations of feral hogs and Canadian geese near the lakes in question, which includes the swim beach at Camp Joshua in Gentry. He says the high E. coli concentrations were found through regular water testing of the lakes.
We have a monitoring program which starts on or about April 1st and usually ends in September. Each authority over those beaches are submitting samples to us either weekly or by a schedule that we set, and it monitors the level of E. coli in the designated swim beach area.
Once a lake is closed, it takes two consecutive daily samples containing less than 127 E. coli bacteria before the area can be reopened. Jones says to get current information about which swim areas have been closed or reopened, you can visit healthy.arkansas.gov.
The two candidates for governor have agreed to face each other in a televised debate later this year. According to Talk Business Arkansas, Republican candidate Asa Hutchinson and Democratic candidate Mike Ross will participate in an hour-long debate on Tuesday, October 7th at the University of Arkansas in Little Rock. Proposals for the debate were sent to both campaigns before the primary, but agreements were finalized at the end of last week. The debate will be aired on the state's three ABC television affiliates.
Lane closures on one busy Fort Smith Street will begin tonight as a substantial overlay project begins. The $1.2 million project will see a new surface on Rogers Avenue between Interstate 540 and Garrison Avenue. While crews mill the existing roadway and overlay new asphalt, drivers should expect closure of either of the eastbound or westbound lanes between the hours of 7 p.m. and 6 a.m. The resurfacing project is expected to be complete by July.
The Great Arkansas Treasure Hunt has begun. According to the Arkansas Auditor of State's office, about $178 million worth of property sits unclaimed or abandoned. That property includes cash, stocks, bonds, jewelry, and other assets. The office paid $8.7 million in claims last year, and the office has already surpassed that number this year. As of a week ago, the office has already returned $10.4 million in unclaimed funds to Arkansas residents. For more information, visit auditor.ar.gov.
The Razorback baseball team is headed to the NCAA tournament later this week. Arkansas advanced to the semifinals of the SEC tournament last week, compiling a 3-2 record in the tournament. The Hogs stand at 38-23 on the season. The Razorbacks will be the number 2 seed in a regional that's being played in Charlottesville, Virginia. They'll play Liberty University Friday night at 6 Central Time.
The Northwest Arkansas Naturals won 2, lost 2 over the Memorial Day weekend in Springdale. The San Antonio Missions shut out the Naturals with 12 runs on Friday, and the Nats' luck didn't change on Saturday with a 7-4 loss to Corpus Christi. But Northwest Arkansas came back with a 7-4 win over the Hooks Sunday and a 5-3 win yesterday. The Naturals are now 13-31 on the season. The team hits the road today to play 3 games in San Antonio.
Cloudy with a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms in Northwest Arkansas. 50% chance of showers or thunderstorms in the River Valley tonight. Lows throughout the region, lower 60s. Cloudy, a 50% chance of rain, including some thunderstorms tomorrow. Highs around 80. And tomorrow night, mostly cloudy. Slight chance of rain. Lows in the lower to mid 60s. This is Ozarks at Large. The candidates for governor are official. Roby Brock from our content partner Talk Business and Politics has the details in his weekly business and political news recap.
Asa Hutchinson and Mike Ross easily dispatched their primary rivals to earn their party's nominations on Tuesday. Hutchinson beat Curtis Coleman to win the Republican Party nomination, and Mike Ross defeated Lynette Bryant to earn the Democratic Party nomination. Hutchinson and Ross will face off against each other in November, as well as go against Green Party nominee Joshua Drake and Libertarian Frank Gilbert. Quarterly and monthly severance tax revenue collections in 2014 set new record highs as Arkansas continues to reap the benefits from higher natural gas prices and steady production levels, primarily in the Fayetteville Shale. Overall, severance tax collections for January, February, March, and April all came in well above $6 million each month, a first for the state of Arkansas. The state may be online to collect more than $80 million in severance taxes this fiscal year, which ends June 30th. Tyson Foods is getting out of the $150 million dynamic fuels venture the company spearheaded beginning in 2007, but it hasn't lived up to its potential. The fuel plant, which has been idle since November 2012, won't be Tyson Foods' problem much longer, as the meat giant has agreed to sell its 50% stake to Renewable Energy Group for $65 million. Renewable Energy is also acquiring Dynamic Fuels, which will give the company 100% ownership of a renewable diesel biorefinery in Louisiana. Alliance Rubber Company, the largest rubber band manufacturer in the United States, announced an expansion of its Hot Springs headquarters, a $600,000 investment that will add 15 new jobs. As part of the expansion, Alliance Rubber will purchase a new digital printer that will allow the company to be more efficient, produce new products, and grow its customer base. John Tyson, chairman of Tyson Foods, pledged $2 million to the Jones Center Endowment on Tuesday, bringing the nonprofit's management within $3.5 million of its $30 million goal towards financial sustainability. The gift was made by the Tyson Family Foundation. Announcing the launch of the new public-private partnership at the Little Rock Chamber of Commerce, Governor Mike Beebe this week touted Arkansas's paradox of extraordinary success at closing big deals and developing world-class corporations while lacking success in launching new startups and small technology-based firms. Beebe made his remarks at the launch of the Arkansas Venture Center, a nonprofit agency aimed at fostering grassroots growth of startup and entrepreneurial activity in Central Arkansas. On the heels of closing on its 11th acquisition in the last 4 years, Bank of the Ozarks announced a 2-for-1 stock split on Monday. The Little Rock-based bank said its board of directors declared the stock split on its common stock, payable in the form of a 100% stock dividend. I'm Roby Brock, and that is your Talk Business and Politics update.
Support for Talk Business and Politics on Ozarks at Large is provided by AT&T, challenging drivers to take the pledge to never text and drive. No text is worth the risk. More information at itcanwait.com.
This week on Ask Me Another, listen to actor and director John Turturro revive his famous film roles.
This week on 21, watch Herb Stemple get fed to the Columbia Lions. Watch Charles Van Duren eat his first kosher meal. This week on 21.
Listen to contestants try to guess the movie. I'm Ophira Eisenberg. Join me and John Turturro this week on Ask Me Another.
That's Saturday at 11 a.m. on 91.3 FM.
In the Young Actors Guild's upcoming production of Cinderella, the cast has decided to make this classic fairy tale a little more relatable.
What we've done with the prince's character and with Cinderella's character is we haven't made it like, oh, floating across the stage, I'm the prince, oh, I'm Cinderella, I'm in love with you, you know, anything like that. It's definitely like very real, very honest, like, oh my goodness, I just saw you and now I'm in love with you. What in the world is going on, you know? So it's never like unbelievable. It's definitely totally believable and just funny. You know how it is, like the first time you hold somebody's hand and you like don't really know how to hold anybody's hand yet. So it's just funny moments like that that really make it honest.
That story's coming up in the second half hour of Ozarks at Large.
The president of the Republic of the Marshall Islands visited Northwest Arkansas over the holiday weekend to join thousands of Ozark Islanders in celebrating their nation's 35th Constitution Day. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich attended opening ceremonies, and she brings us sounds of the event.
More than 300 Marshallese from across the United States crowded into a Jones Center gymnasium in Springdale Friday night to hear the president of the Marshall Islands speak and to celebrate the weekend-long Constitution Day event. After a blessing by a local Marshallese minister, the RMI anthem was sung. The three-hour-long celebration was marked by lots of speeches, awards, and traditional song. A little history. After gaining military control of the Marshall Islands from Japan after World War II, the United States assumed administrative control of the Marshall Islands as a trust territory. The RMI adopted its own constitution in 1979 and signed a compact of free association with the U.S., achieving full independence in 1986. Islanders are free to travel to the United States to live and work for as long as they wish. And many were excited that His Excellency Christopher J. Loyak, President of the Republic of the Marshall Islands, gave the keynote address. This was his first visit as president to Arkansas, accompanied by First Lady Loyak. Christopher Loyak, who took office in 2012, has served in various public offices for the past 20 years, taking turns as Minister of Justice, Minister of Social Services, and Minister of Education. He also helped negotiate military relations with the United States. The Marshall Islands were used as a Pacific nuclear weapons test site during the Cold War. With the detonation of nearly 70 bomb tests, portions of the Marshall Islands remain radioactive. The U.S. government maintains strategic military operations on Kwajalein Atoll. Today, the beautiful Pacific Island nation, which number more than 70,000, struggle with 36% unemployment and a lack of social services. As a consequence, many Marshallese are migrating to Hawaii, California, and Arkansas to find work, health care, and education. Arkansas has the largest population of Marshallese in the world outside of the RMI, some estimate as high as 10,000. And an RMI consulate was established here several years ago to assist islanders in assimilating. Counselor Carmen Chongom organized this year's Constitution Day events.
Being the 35th anniversary of the Constitution, and for him, the head of state, to be here with us in Northwest Arkansas, you know, it's very significant. It's very important. I'm sorry. when the students at the schools that he visited heard, and the teachers heard that he was coming, that's how significant it was. They were excited. It was like a big deal.
After his keynote address and prior to leaving for a large reception, President Christopher Loyak took a moment.
Well, Arkansas, I think, is one of the biggest Marshallese community in the United States. So it's a very significant, it's a lot of people come here. And they go to school here, they work here. And it's somewhat a relief for Marshall Island in a way, because we could not provide all the jobs that is needed for such a huge population. But it's something that we're very appreciative of for state of Arkansas to welcome them. And I always talk to these communities. I try to advise them on becoming good citizens, contributing member of the community, so they can continue to enjoy these privileges.
President Loyak spent 5 days in Northwest Arkansas visiting with local school children, dignitaries, and church leaders, attending feasts and, of course, seasonal Islander softball tournaments. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
It is Tuesday, May 27th, 2014. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
With us, Becca Martin Brown, features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
So you had a birthday last week.
I did.
We're just having all kinds of excitement and change and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, well, with a birthday.
You don't sound so excited about your birthday.
You know, with a birthday, it's just like you stuck around for another 365.
What?
Well, I'm just saying.
It's a birthday.
It was a very fine birthday. It was a very fine birthday.
Okay.
It's just that they keep getting bigger now. Not the birthdays themselves, but the number associated with them.
Not if you lie well.
Okay.
So a sure sign of spring. Or summer, actually, in Northwest Arkansas.
Oh, I love the sound of that.
It's the Gully Park Concert Series.
I love
that.
I do love that. As Kevin Kinder wrote in What's Up, grab some refreshments, bring a lawn chair or a blanket, and plop down in front of the gazebo at the center of the park for this year's music series in its 18th season.
Wow.
How is that possible?
See, that's why we have to lie so well.
Exactly.
When you hear the 18th and you go, I wasn't even that young when they started.
Yeah. Anyway, the schedule, it starts Thursday, and the first band is National Park Radio.
Friends of the show.
We do like them.
June 12th is Waylon Pierce. June 26th is Guta. July 10th, Boom Kinetic. July 24th, Sarah and the Meanies. And August 7th, the Ben Miller Band. These are on Thursday, starting at 7 o'clock at Gully Park in Fayetteville. And they are free. They usually have food, so stick some money in your pocket.
Good time.
Thank you, Becca. Becca Martin Brown is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
I had been a big Elvis fan, but there was only one of him. The Beatles, though, were a smorgasbord of sex symbols.
I started screaming like mad. I didn't think I would scream, but it seemed the most natural response.
This year, I will turn 64. Popping up right underneath the ever-youthful Paul was an ad for Medicare supplemental insurance.
True stories told by the Southerners who lived them. Tales from the South.
Featured this week on Tales from the South, Catherine Sherlds from the Journalism Department at the University of Arkansas. You can listen Saturday at 3:30 to 91.3 FM.
When Robert Runyon was young, he used Lincoln Logs, those wooden toys with notches, to make structures. He's still doing that many years later, only the Lincoln Logs have been replaced by real logs, and the scale of his work has grown. Still the same? He's making his cabins and pavilions and shelters by hand. His techniques are time-proven. They have centuries of testing. He uses mules and a skid to haul wood and stone. The tools to create fireplaces, roofs, doors, and everything else require muscle and no electricity. His singular vision is to get as close to perfection as energy, resources, and time will allow. Earlier this month, Robert Runyon's 40-plus years of creating notable projects like the Yellow Rock Overlook at Devil's Den or the Bottle Rocket Art Gallery on the edge of Fayetteville were recognized as what they truly are, art. Robert Runyon was selected as an Arkansas Living Treasure by the Arkansas Arts Council, a title that arrives with some heft.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of scary.
That was Robert Runyon at the Shiloh Museum of Ozark History in Springdale in mid-May. The Arkansas Arts Council officially gave him the Living Treasure honor at the museum in front of scores of friends and family. Between handshakes and hugs from well-wishers, Robert would talk about the people he says have indulged him for years, people he calls peers and patrons.
And had the confidence and the wherewithal to just basically give us free rein to do these projects. And it's been a privilege.
The Arkansas Arts Council began awarding the designation of Living Treasure to Arkansas craftspeople in 2002. Awards have gone to a violin maker in Yellville, Violet Hensley, and Peter Livencott of Fort Smith for his pottery. Joy Pennington, the executive director of the Arkansas Arts Council, says the people selected to be called a Living Treasure have elevated their craft to art.
And also, it's an Arkansas Living Treasure is someone who is preserving their craft through teaching other people. And obviously, that's what Robert Runyon has done through apprenticeships and just hands-on teaching, which is really the traditional way that you teach people craft.
Robert Runyon, now 65, has spent years working with others teaching the best way to get things just right so they'll last a long time. Building a cabin this way doesn't just make the structure last longer. It takes longer to put that cabin together.
Being adamant about not taking shortcuts, even over objections, you know, and I must admit, we've stressed a few patrons out, you know, because just from being stubborn, if you want to call it that, about, you know, staying on task and not compromising.
And no compromising requires one trait more than any other, patience.
That is the key to the success of what we've done, yes. Yeah, patience. Because it'll burn a lot of people out. You don't know how many young guys I have lost after they have skint logs with a draw knife for a couple of hours. I walk back up there and the draw knife's laying there, and well, where is it at? Gee, Mr. Runyon, we didn't realize that was going to be so hard.
One person he hasn't run off is Jim Milwee. They're not quite sure just when they began working together, but it was at least 40 years ago, perhaps as early as 1979, when they were both in their 20s. That's plenty of lifting, cutting, thinking, and rethinking projects together. Robert says with that kind of partnership, they've developed a unique understanding of how things work and how each other works. Jim Milwee agrees with a big smile.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, we had our fights. You don't work that long with anybody unless you get into it with them every now and then. But yeah, but we were both into the same result.
The same result they're looking for is finishing a project exactly the way they want and accepting frustrations that come with that approach. So if a wall isn't right or a beam isn't plumb, it comes down to be built better.
Taking it down, putting it back up, yeah, what you... As you learn to do it, you start trying to get to where you have to do that less. You know, you try to foresee, you know, set it up there, scribe it or mark it, take it down, cut it, whittle on it, whatever, and put it back and hope it fits. Sometimes it doesn't, and it's up to you to decide, should it come off there one more time? And that's where Robert would really get, hey, how are you doing, Ken? That's where he would, he always went a little bit further than anyone else. You know.
Going beyond appears to be Robert's mantra. When I asked if he's ever been tempted to just do something an easier way to save an hour or a day or a week, he considers that question for 6 full seconds.
There ain't no easy way. Let's put it that way. If it's easy, there's always a drawback, it seems like. It's either down the road or something. I love keeping the old techniques alive. They're time-proven. And most people don't realize it, but, the log building craft was perfected in Europe 1,000 years ago.
Robert's longtime colleague Jim Milwee says a Robert Runyon enterprise has several working parts. First, the mechanics are considered. How will that log fit into the next one? Then there is the science, figuring how that beam will be lifted up high and placed in exactly the proper place without a modern crane. Then there's a philosophical element. Why are they doing what they're doing? And then Jim says there's the rest.
And then, you know, that covers quite a bit right there. And then when you get into the detail of combining both the science and the mechanics, you get into that detail of how you want to twist it or turn it. Well, that's the art of it. And it isn't just any art.
Simply put, Jim says Robert is a master at what he does. He compares watching Robert Runyon contemplating, then putting together something like watching somebody else well-known for being among the best at what he did.
I used to tell my kids back in the 90s, you know, Michael Jordan was their hero. And I'd watch him. I'd want to watch the games, the Bulls, you know, and every game he had a new move. And I told them then, I said, he's an artist. He's using basketball, but he ain't drawing that picture the same way every time. He's taking it to a new level and making art of it. So you can do it with anything, you know.
Robert shrugs off this sort of talk. Oh, he'll talk to you about the people he's worked with over the years and how they've contributed to his experiences. He'll go on at length about the generosity afforded him by patrons who understand that a longer-than-expected building time pays off in the end. His acceptance speech at the ceremony was just 59 seconds, and 39 of those seconds were spent talking about other people. He will talk at length, though, about the process of learning, because he says when a person quits learning, a person quits living.
I'm still perfecting techniques and trying to be a little bit innovative in certain ways. You know, that actually it all goes back to old world stuff that I've researched and drug up, like at the library or, you know, through photographs or basically historical references, and trying to bring that into the forefront of our work today, in this contemporary age right now. But I like taking irregular materials and making something that's square and plumb and, you know, with a hodgepodge of different shapes and building styles.
Robert Runyon was named an Arkansas Living Treasure earlier this month at a ceremony at Shiloh Museum of Ozark History in Springdale. This is Ozarks at Large.
After falling asleep while their parents read fairy tales to them, little girls may dream of becoming princesses who get to waltz with their very own Prince Charming.
Left, right, bent, out, in, dip, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, bend, 2, 3, hold, 2, 3.
Last week, members of the Young Actors Guild gathered on the Webster University campus in Fort Smith inside a large room with 6 white columns stretching from the floor to the ceiling located in the room's center. The young actors were rehearsing for the group's upcoming production of Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella, which is scheduled for June 12th through the 15th at the Alma Performing Arts Center. 19-year-old Logan Sloan has been cast in the role of Prince Christopher.
He's kind of getting sad because he doesn't know if he'll ever find a bride. And so his parents decide to throw this ginormous ball for him. He doesn't want to have any part of it. He says, in the script, he says he's not going to marry anyone that shows up at the ball. And then what do you know? Cinderella comes down the flight of stairs and he's instantly mesmerized by this beautiful creature. And so they dance. They go outside, they have another dance, they fall madly in love with each other, and then she runs away. And so he has no idea what to do, so like the whole second act he is frantically searching the kingdom for this girl, and eventually everyone knows that he finds her, and so it's wonderful. He goes through quite an array of emotions trying to find her, so it's fun.
Fun to play.
Yes, fun, because you gotta be frantic, you gotta be crazy, you gotta be depressed, and then go back straight into those emotions again.
In addition to learning his lines from the musical, Logan is also in charge of designing the dance numbers as the assistant choreographer. Logan says director Missy Gibson describes what she's looking for in a performance, and then he goes home to brainstorm and dance around his living room before teaching the routine to the 45-member cast. When Logan decided he wanted to make musical theater his career, the Pocola, Oklahoma actor took 6 months of dance lessons and explored a variety of styles, including ballet, jazz, tap, and hip-hop. Logan says choreographing a routine is a little bit like a jigsaw puzzle. After deciding on a few key elements he wants to include in the dance, he must then figure out ways to connect those elements. Logan often makes changes through much of the rehearsal process.
It's usually never right until like an hour before the show opens. So we're always constantly saying, let's change that and add this and see if that works better, if that looks more unique.
Playing the role of Cinderella is 17-year-old Laura Pearson. Her stage debut came at the age of 2 when she was an angel in a production of The Best Christmas Pageant Ever. Laura has worked in a number of plays since then, including several with the Young Actors Guild, which she says is her home.
Just because the people are so amazing, they're so supportive of everyone, it doesn't really matter if you're like a chorus member, if you're the lead, they all love each other so much and you just feel it. It's awesome.
Laura says she loved watching the Disney version of Cinderella as a kid, which has extra characters like singing mice that are not included in the Rodgers and Hammerstein version. Laura has found watching some of the film adaptations of Cinderella helpful, because if she's not sure how her Cinderella would react to a line, Laura says this gives her a way to see how other actors have reacted to that same line. Although she can draw inspiration from other actors, Laura has worked on bringing her own spin to the fairy tale protagonist.
When I came into the role, I was trying to figure out how to make her. She's so kind and so She just never gets mad at anything, and she's stuck in this terrible situation, you know, with her stepsisters. They're not really mean to her, but they do, they're very self-absorbed, so they don't really care much about Cinderella. So I tried to figure out how I was going to justify her being okay with that without being just empty-headed. So she just sees the good in everything, and she's just really a normal girl stuck in a very abnormal situation.
In preparing for this production, Laura says decisions have been made to change some aspects of the characters in order to make this fairy tale much more relatable.
What we've done with the prince's character and with Cinderella's character is we haven't made it like, oh, floating across the stage, I'm the prince, oh, I'm Cinderella, I'm in love with you, you know, anything like that. It's definitely like very real, very honest, like, oh my goodness, I just saw you and now I'm in love with you. What in the world is going on, you know? So it's never like unbelievable. It's definitely totally believable and just funny. You know how it is, like the first time you hold somebody's hand and you like don't really know how to hold anybody's hand yet. So it's just funny moments like that that really make it honest.
Of course, honest doesn't mean the show will be without laughs. 17-year-old Cody Walls is playing the king, who Cody describes as quirky and the provider of some comic relief in the play. The high school senior enjoys getting the chance to be funny because it makes people smile. Cody has been singing since he was little, and he gets the chance to exercise that talent in this musical. It took some key changes and a little bit of work to adjust the King's songs for Cody's voice, but he says he loves the challenge.
Music explains the emotions that words alone can't. I mean, and when we talk to people, we don't ever listen to the words they're saying. We listen to the meaning behind the words, and I feel like music really brings that out.
The Young Actors Guild will present Rodgers and Hammerstein's musical Cinderella June 12th through the 15th at the Alma Performing Arts Center. Members of the cast, including Cody Wall, say they have been working hard on creating a top-notch production for theatergoers.
The Young Actors Guild showcases kids of all ages with all different types of talent. I mean, we have tumbling in the show, we have lots of dancing and singing, and it's just there are a lot of talented kids in this production, and they're investing a lot of hard work and time into this, and it's something that I think audiences are really going to enjoy.
At 12:30 p.m. June 14th, the Young Actors Guild will also host a tea party in the Alma Performing Arts Center's Green Room. Admission is $8 per child and seating is limited. Tickets to the performances of Cinderella are $15 for adults and $10 for kids 12 and younger. More information is available at yagonline.org.
There are a few other places where you can see or participate in theater during the month of June. Rogers Little Theater is presenting Wait Until Dark, June 6th through the 15th. In the play, a sinister con man and two ex-convicts are about to meet their match in Susie Hendricks, a blind Greenwich Village housewife. She becomes the target of three con men searching for the heroin hidden in a doll, which her husband Sam innocently transported from Canada as a favor to a woman who has since been murdered. Tickets and showtimes available at rogerslittletheater.org.
Leading Ladies will be on stage at Fort Smith Little Theater June 5th through the 15th in this Ken Ludwig comedy. Two British actors plan to pass themselves off as the long-lost nephews of a wealthy old woman who's about to die, but they get hit with a mix-up on gender. You can go to fslt.org for additional information.
The Ozarks Arts Council will present Rex's Exes June 7th and 8th, and then again the 14th and 15th in Harrison. For more, visit thelyric.com. Harrison.org.
The 2014 Arkansas New Play Festival has been scheduled for June 12th through the 15th at Nadine Baum Studios in Fayetteville. Details at theater2, that's the number 2.org.
University Theater is presenting one-person shows and comedy improv in Studio 404 of Kimple Hall on the U of A campus in Fayetteville. Shows are scheduled for 7:30 p.m. June 26th and 27th. Admission, free. For more, visit drama.uark.edu.
The University of Arkansas Fort Smith Academy of the Arts is hosting a couple of musical theater camps this summer for kids 5 to 14 years old. More information is available at uafs.edu/academy.
Arts Live Theater also organized summer camps, as well as a production of Charlotte's Web, which will be on Arts Live Theater's second stage on North Sang Avenue in Fayetteville, June 19th through the 22nd. The theater company is also holding auditions for Just a High School Play from 1 until 4 p.m. on June 28th. For details on any of these events, visit artslivetheater.com.
Trike Theater is in the middle of its production of Here Comes Gosling, which is on stage at Trike Theater's Black Box Studio in Bentonville until June 8th. The organization also has several summer camps lined up in June and July, and more information is available at triketheater.org. And now we're actually going to give you the opportunity to win 4 tickets to any performance of Here Comes Gosling.
And we'll make it part of our family pack.
We will.
So 4 vouchers to a 2014 game at Arvest Ballpark with the Northwest Arkansas Naturals, and 4 tickets that get you into a Malco Movie Theater anywhere in our region.
All you have to do is send us an email at ozarksatlarge@gmail.com. We will select a winner tomorrow.
Just do it at random. ozarksatlarge@gmail.com.
From Little Rock, I'm Stephen Cook with Arkansas Songs.
There's a photo in my baby book of the first step that I ever took. I ended up on my butt with a puzzled look. Ever since I've been kinda confused. When life tripped me up, I was easily bruised. But time has a way of healing wounds.
Sean Camp of Perryville in Perry County was born into a musical family. The Arkansas-er got an early start in music himself, so much so, it was no surprise Camp has been a musician most of his life. After years as a player and songwriter in the music business in Nashville, Tennessee, where he moved in 1987, Sean Camp built a solid reputation in that community. He's played fiddle with the Osborne Brothers, Alan Jackson, Jerry Reed, Susie Boggess, and Trisha Yearwood. His songs have been recorded by Garth Brooks, George Strait, Brooks and Dunn, John Anderson, Josh Turner, and more. He's co-written songs with the likes of Loretta Lynn, Guy Clark, and Jim Lauderdale. Sean Camp is well known in the Nashville community as a hit songwriter and a multi-instrumentalist. But it wasn't supposed to be that way. Sean Camp was supposed to be a star.
I tossed and turned and tried counting sheep. When will I ever learn? I'll never sleep till you're by my side. It's just a waste of time. Ain't no use trying to get you off my mind.
In 1992, Sean Camp signed as a solo act to Reprise Records, the famed subsidiary label of Warner Brothers. The following year, Sean Camp's self-titled debut album was released. The lead songs on the album were Fall and Never Felt So Good, which opened this episode of Arkansas Songs, and Confessin' My Love, heard here. The album features star musicians like guitarist James Burton and bassist Roy Husky Jr. and Willie Weeks, and vocalists Allison Krauss and Shelby Lynn. Camp sings, plays fiddle, dobro, and acoustic guitar, and co-wrote 9 of its 10 songs. He's also pictured somewhat seductively on his debut album's front cover in a bedroom scene with his Western shirt unbuttoned to his navel, blonde hair cascading down the nape of his neck, and his head cocked questioningly.
Lonesome feelings got a hold on me, and if I don't wanna cry no tears, why'd I head out down that lonely street, and why'd I ever come in here? 'Cause when I start drinking, bound to start thinking about who you're with tonight. And I'm bound to cry, bound to wonder whose spell you're under. And if you hold him tight, then I'm bound to cry, bound to want you, but I don't want to. And honey, if y'all walk by, then I'm bound to cry.
Buzz was on in the early 1990s about Sean Camp, this handsome Arkansas kid in his 20s who had authenticity, songwriting talent, and musical and vocal chops. Would he be the next Glen Campbell? Sean Camp music videos were being shown on TV, and he was getting radio airplay. Signed to a major American record label, all of the elements were in place for singer, songwriter, and musician Sean Camp to blow up as a performer.
Wake up in the morning when the radio plays. Drank my coffee with the local DJ. Talking about traffic on the interstate. Bound to be late, it's one of them days. One of them days when the sun don't shine. Same old pain in this heart of mine. Sky is gray.
Both the performer Sean Camp and the album Sean Camp did well enough for Reprise and Warner Brothers Records that a follow-up was set. Surely the second album would solidify Camp's establishment as an artist. But when Camp turned in the tapes to his follow-up album to the company, the country music performer's work was considered too country. The label asked for less traditional country music sounds and more electric guitars. Sean Camp balked at such impudent suggestions. He has to be given a release date for the second Sean Camp album or be given a release from his major label contract. Company obliged by releasing Sean Camp from his contract. But both the performer and the album Sean Camp lived on, and more than 15 years later, Reprise Nashville finally issued Sean Camp's long-dismissed second album in fall of 2010, along with the re-release of his debut album. Sean Camp's long years of work in the music business were thus again acknowledged by the industry, but one gets the idea Sean Camp will be writing, playing, and singing regardless.
There ain't no loving when I get home late. A hard day of labor and my old back aches. TV dinner, Channel 8. John Wayne just thought he had the longest.
Here in its entirety is Arkansas-er Sean Camp of Perryville in Perry County with a song from his 1993 debut, Sean Camp, called Confessing My Love.
And turned and tried counting sheep. When will I ever learn? I'll never sleep till you're by my side. It's just a waste of time. Ain't no use trying to get you off my mind. So I guess I'll be confessing my love, confessing my love. There ain't gonna be no resting at all, 'cause I want you too much. I might get all embarrassed and a little tongue-tied, 'cause I ain't had no lessons in expressing it right. Yes, I guess I'll be confessing my love. Up and speak my mind, but I've been wanting you for too long a time. Now I just can't take this anymore. About to hear some knocking on your front door. Cause tonight I guess I'll be confessing my love, confessing my love. There ain't gonna be no resting at all, 'cause I want you too much. I might get all embarrassed and a little tongue-tied, 'cause I ain't had no lessons in expressing it right.
Sean Camp of Perryville in Perry County with Confessing My Love from his self-titled 1993 debut solo album, reissued in 2010. It's another song of Arkansas. From Little Rock, I'm Stephen Cook with Arkansongs.
Arkansongs is a production of FM 89 and Experiment Station Studios. For more information, visit arkansongs.org.
Ozarks at Large is supported by the Center for Arkansas and Regional Studies at the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville, dedicated to the celebration and documentation of this region's history and culture.
You could win tickets plus camping to the 11th annual Wakarusa Music Festival, June 5th through the 8th on Mulberry Mountain in Ozark. Over 150 acts will perform, including the String Cheese Incident, Michael Franti and Spearhead, and STS9. The winner will be announced May 30th during the noon edition of Ozarks at Large. That's this Friday. So still time to register at KUAF.com.
And if you're going to camp at Wakarusa, this is the only way you're going to be able to do it now. That's all sold out.
Camping is sold out.
So if you want to do that. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Rogers, London.
London.
Over by Russellville.
Right.
Just at the edge of our listening area.
All good, though.
Hey, do you play wiffle ball?
I do.
Do you love wiffle ball?
I mean, I like it. I enjoy it. I'm not the best at it.
Oh, that's the point of wiffle ball. You don't have to be the best.
Well, sure.
But we'll find out who the best is. The Northwest Arkansas Wiffle Ball Tournament will take place Friday evening and all day Saturday at the Jones Center in Springdale. We can tie a ribbon around Northwest Arkansas now. Everything is here. Teams should consist of 3 to 4 players of at least 16 years of age. If you want rules or information, you can go to the phone and call 756-8090. Jones Center Wiffle Ball Tournament of Northwest Arkansas.
I play this weekend, as a matter of fact, and some people are going to be very sad that they did not know about this.
Well, there's still time to register teams.
Okay.
So, I love wiffle ball. It is the great equalizer. Anyone can play wiffle ball.
This is true. Anybody can play wiffle ball. And anybody can also go to a number of musical events happening in this area. I know Time for Three is coming back. We had them in, I don't know, a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And they're coming back to play with the Artisphere Festival Orchestra.
Yes.
And you're going to talk to them later today?
Yes, because the Artisphere Orchestra is going through rehearsals today at Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art for tomorrow's live broadcast on KUAF from 8 to 10 p.m. Time for Three will be there. If you've been following social media, you know that they couldn't get their instruments on the plane to Northwest Arkansas.
I didn't know that.
Of a problem with that. So I'm going to find out later if they have been reunited with their instruments yet.
Or if they're going to have to borrow some.
I don't know what happens then. Surely.
I mean, well, you can't play, I mean, air cello. That's not going to work.
You could, but.
It's not going to work, I don't think.
The audience isn't going to be as entertained.
Probably not.
Right.
Oh, well, I hope they got it back. I guess not found them. I hope they were reunited.
Yes. We'll find out. We'll find out more, and hopefully tomorrow you'll have an update when you host the show with Christina.
Okay. Looking forward to it. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
I'm Kyle Kellums.
Tune in tomorrow at noon for another edition of Ozarks at Large. We'll end today's show with some music by Pearl Brick. The song is called Driving With My Eyes Closed. She recorded this in our studio earlier this year, and you can hear her live tonight at 7 at Arcega's on the Depot. Thanks again for listening, and have a great Tuesday.
And the story never ends. I'm not afraid of dying. I know I will. Driving with my eyes closed, it makes me feel good. Walking with my eyes closed, skipping all the way.